This is the end of days. We've all been experiencing this quarantine period, and it's quite wild, quite crazy. And I thought it would be good, as the world is about to end, and humanity specifically, that we talk about the best of humanity. And, I mean, I don't know who's going to listen to this. It could be aliens. It could be people. It just depends on the timing of these things, but I did want to highlight just some examples of the best of humanity for those out there who still continue to exist so that they can experience the best of what we had to offer. So without further ado, this is Frankly Put, Best of Humanity, and today we're going to be talking about directors, the top 10 directors of humanity. Because human history is ending, so I can only assume that we've finished with all the ones that we've had so far. So, here you go. Best of Humanity Top 10 Directors. We're gonna start with 10 through 4, and then before we do the top 3, we're going to do some honorable mentions. So, without further ado, I'll go ahead and get us started. So for number 10, I think starting out strong is always important, and I think this director really left his mark on filmmaking. He was very specific and intentional in what he wanted to direct and make, and he goes by the name Quentin Tarantino. Yeah, Quentin Tarantino, who famously did Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, Django Unchained, Inglourious Basterds. He has a very unique style of filmmaking. He didn't give a fuck. He wanted to say what he wanted to say. He used a lot of violence. There were comedy elements in his films. He didn't really care about genre. He just kind of made the films he wanted to make. And he left a unique voice that was heard by a generation. Definitely spoke strongly. Personally, I really liked recent films such as Django Unchained, which was very creative while exploring some historical eras, specifically talking about slavery and bounty hunting. It was a really interesting film. I think he got great performances out of Jamie Foxx and Christoph Waltz, and I just think the whole cast of that film was great. I also really loved Inglourious Basterds. I think the plot line's really interesting, just being about some Jews who fight in World War II and try to kill Hitler. I think it's a really just kind of fun storyline while also pretty serious at the same time. Quentin Tarantino also came out with a recent film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which I think was underrated film recently. A lot of people have given it some mixed reviews, and I think he just explores what he wanted to explore about Hollywood, the good, the bad, the ugly, and he explores some relationships. That's something he highlights a lot of times in his films, is specific relationships. If you think about in Django, it's between the bounty hunter and Django, or Pulp Fiction, it's between John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson, or in this film, it was the stunt double and the Hollywood actor between Leo and Brad Pitt. And I think he does a great job of just exploring the ins and outs of these relationships and just kind of the human connection there between people. I think it's really interesting. They're very unique people, but they kind of get along. So that's one of the interesting things with his films. And I think overall they're just always action-packed, fun, but they also have some meaning behind it. Sometimes people criticize what he's done, but good art endures criticism, and I think he stood the test of time on that. So for number 9, this guy is a great guy. He's still if humanity somehow continues, or if something happens where he continues to exist, I think he'll his future is bright, but he already has left a legacy. The name Taika Waititi should ring in a lot of people's ears. Taika Waititi recently did Jojo Rabbit, Thor Ragnarok, and he did the film As We Are in the Shadows. That could be wrong. I always fuck up that name, but it's about vampires. It's a 2012 vampire comedy that's worth checking out. Him and one of the guys from Flight of the Conchords star in it, and Taika directed it, and it's a really good film. But the one that specifically sticks out for me for Taika Waititi is the new Jojo Rabbit, which I think hits at a lot of different emotions. It hits at the core of like comedy being a way for us to kind of continue on in life and to keep moving, while there's drama, which is kind of inevitable with our human experience and how people have strong emotions. So it's kind of a balance of those two things. There's some great exploration of like some historical time periods and just a lot of creativity taken to that film. And he did a great job bringing out performances by Sam Rockwell and a couple of kids. I know the main character was played by a kid named Roman, who is really good. And he just brought about a great film. He did the writing, he did the directing, and that movie alone, I think, stands out for me in 2019. So that might be a hot take there, but I think he's deserving of that number 9 place. At number 8, I have Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner has made some really beautiful films, some really great stuff. Again, somebody who, like I've kind of highlighted already, can blur genre between comedy and drama and different other categories. He has a great coming-of-age film in Stand By Me, great romance film in When Harry Met Sally, a great adventure film in The Princess Bride, and those quick summaries don't really give them justice, but Rob Reiner is just, all in all, a storyteller. He tells these stories with genuine heart, with very a creative mind behind it, and he brings out great performances. Billy Crystal in When Harry Met Sally is one of my favorite performances to think about, and the kids in Stand By Me, all four of them do a great job. River Phoenix and Will Wheaton and Jerry O'Connell and the Corey Feldman, they all do a great job in that film, and he kind of brings it all together. The Princess Bride with Cary Elwes is a great film, and there's just some incredible quotes in there. He just tells a story that's very, each time he just makes it very personal while also taking sometimes from source material from other writers and sometimes from his own experience, but he uses it all together to tell a real personal story, and I really like it. He's definitely a story first kind of guy. At number 7, this one's going to be controversial, Todd Phillips. Todd Phillips is famous for Joker, The Hangover, and Old School. Personally, my favorite of those films would probably be Old School. I think it's one of those films that everybody can watch and enjoy. It's just fun. He has a lot of fun in his films. The Hangover is obviously a great example of that as well. He brings out some of the best comedy that's ever been brought to screen, with Old School, with Will Ferrell's character, Frank the Tank, who's great, and the Godfather in Old School, and just a lot of the gags in the Hangover movies. And but he, in recent years, he's been he's been pissed at the cancel culture movement, and so in kind of a way to rebel against that, he made the movie Joker as kind of a statement film that's very dramatic, but it speaks a lot about comedy, and it speaks a lot about the human experience and how we're flawed and how we go through struggles. And obviously it doesn't try to justify the Joker character, but it does give kind of an explanation for why he becomes so crazy and why he's just so lost in this world, where, you know, people are willing to really screw each other over, and where people aren't willing to be upfront and honest a lot of the time. He's like, the Joker is kind of like, fuck it. That's pretty much his attitude, and it's a really interesting take on just, you know, what life is like for somebody with mental illness, and just how difficult life can be. So, good film there. Todd Phillips, just, he has a very interesting voice in his films, and he definitely seems to have a good time, too. At number six, I have Frank Darabont. He's a famous director, and he's done some all-time classics. You may not know the name, but he's, you know, in the community, I'm sure he's very famous. He did The Shawshank Redemption, The Green Mile, and a great film that I really enjoyed called The Majestic. He brings about, he's really good with drama. So Frank Darabont, obviously Shawshank Redemption is the number one rated film on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database. And, deservingly so. I think Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman, have great performances in that film. It's fun at points. It's very dramatic. It's, there's just a lot of different experiences. It's just a very intense story as well. Going through this, the eyes of this guy who's wrongfully imprisoned, trying to get out. And Morgan Freeman, who kind of, has adjusted to prison so much so that he can't really enjoy the outside. And I think those are really interesting stories to look at. Obviously that one in The Green Mile coming from Stephen King, but he does a great job adapting those films for the screen. So, and that's very difficult in its own right. The Green Mile is great. Tom Hanks playing a death row, prison guard, and there's just some really inexplicable things going on around him with one of the inmates, and it's just kind of an honest take where there's good guys and bad guys on both sides of the of the jail. There's, you know, good guys who are behind bars, and there's bad guys behind bars, and there's good guys who are guarding the prison, and there's bad guys who are guarding the prison. So it's just a very interesting film, worth a watch if you haven't seen it. The Majestic is a great film about just kind of about the early 1900s, probably 1930s, 1940s. It's 1940s, that's what it is. And it's Jim Carrey at his best. It's got a lot of great performances. It's a very, it's a very romantic film about movie theaters and about people, and it's about a guy who's lost his memory and doesn't know who he is anymore. And so it's just one of those films that kind of honors the history of filmmaking while also being great in its own right. So his films speak for themselves, and he just did a great job with those films. At number five, another controversial hot take here, but Adam McKay, he's obviously, I think with recent Will Ferrell films, we've been missing Adam McKay's presence in Will Ferrell's films. He was a big part in Talladega Nights and Step Brothers, which are two all-time classic films. Anchorman as well, he directed Anchorman. Recently, he switched to more of a dramatic take with The Big Short and Vice. Both of those had a lot of comedy in them as well, and they're very, they explore, like, important human topics. The Big Short explores the 2008 financial crisis and the downturn of the housing market through the eyes of the people who saw it coming. It is great performances left and right from Ryan Gosling and Christian Bale, and there's just a lot of very unique ways that he tells the story. He chooses to use celebrities to, like, stop and explain things while he continues to have this flow throughout the film. It's a great film by itself, and he did a great job with it. Vice, telling the story of Dick Cheney, that's a great movie. Adam McKay read, like, 20 Dick Cheney biographies just to get this film right, and he brought out some great performances. I mean, it's just a great film. It's worth watching if you haven't seen it. He even makes commentary on his own film in the post credits. He has like people commenting on how it's like a, you know, a hit piece by the left, and other people who are like, oh, well, it's honest, so what do you give a shit? And it's really, really interesting film, I think. So, and then number four, we have a great filmmaker, Mr. Martin Scorsese. Martin Scorsese did The Departed. He did Taxi Driver, The Wolf of Wall Street, Silence. He's done a number of all-time films, Goodfellas, Casino. He did The Last Temptation of Jesus Christ, and a number of other films, but specifically one I want to talk about is The Departed. It was an adaptation of a trilogy of Japanese films that Martin took to the screen to make into a masterpiece. It's a great story about people betraying one another, and the action's great, the performances are great. For me, it's an all-time mob movie because there's a real plot throughout the whole thing that's incredibly intriguing. But there's also real exploration of what the mob is. The character of Frank Costello comes to mind as a real interesting character, played by Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson. He does a great job there. And Leo and Matt Damon starring opposite each other. I mean, come on. That's incredible. That's a dream team right there. Martin Scorsese, he worked a lot with Robert De Niro and with Leonardo DiCaprio, and with both those guys, he's made a number of incredible films. With Leo, The Wolf of Wall Street is one that sticks out. It explores greed and the ability for humans to just keep pursuing their own selfish gain. It's pretty wild. It's a wild film. It explores drugs. Silence explores religion in a very not a very anti-religious way, I guess, but also kind of showing the suffering that people are willing to go through for their faith, and just the ways that people are willing to torture to protect a way of life and things like that. It's worth a watch if you've never seen Silence. It's a very dramatic film, very intense film about these Catholic priests going to Japan, and the performances are great. You should really check it out if you haven't seen it. Scorsese also has, works like The Taxi Driver and Raging Bull, which are classic films where he works with De Niro and establishing very driven characters who are very interesting to look at. Scorsese also has a great film in Gangs of New York with Daniel Day-Lewis and Leo, where he explores like gangs in New York, but in like the 1800s. He chooses very unique, interesting topics to explore. He did the Life of Howard Hughes in The Aviator. That was a very interesting film, exploring, the mind of somebody with OCD. So he chooses very interesting topics, and he brings out these very human stories, which obviously is at the root of what I love in film is human stories and kind of exploring the human connection. And I think he did a great job with that. So before we keep going with the top three, I'm going to go ahead and give us some honorable mentions. Some of these are going to be shocking. Some people are going to be like, fuck you, Frank. That's stupid. That I'm not art house enough with these picks or whatever. I don't care about great quality filmmaking, something like that. But those people can kind of fuck off. So So a couple great filmmakers who make the honorable mention list for me would be Stanley Kubrick. He did films such as The Shining, Full Metal Jacket, Dr. Strangelove, and Spartacus. Just to highlight one, Full Metal Jacket is a great war film that explores basic training in Vietnam. And it dives into like the honest life of a soldier. It's not PG. It's very straightforward, and it's worth a watch if you haven't seen it. Another one, Francis Ford Coppola. Yeah, a lot of people would consider him one of the best filmmakers of all time, and I think he's up there, but not top three, not top 10 really for me either. But he did The Godfather Part 1 and Part 2 and Apocalypse Now. Apocalypse Now is a really interesting film, set in Vietnam as well. He tells the story that was set in the book Hearts of Darkness, and he brings it to Vietnam and explores just kind of the anarchy of war and kind of different ideas with humanity's tension with murder and greed and things of that nature. It's really interesting. It's worth a watch. Another one, great comedian, filmmaker, Mel Brooks, did Spaceballs, The Producers, Blazing Saddles, and Men in Tights. Blazing Saddles, check that movie out if you haven't. It's a great Western, explores the West in a very comedic tone. There's a black sheriff with a bunch of racists in town, and just chaos ensues. It's worth a watch. It's really funny. Robin Hood Men in Tights is great from him as well. Spaceballs, great parody of Star Wars. So Mel Brooks, great filmmaker. Another honorable mention, Mel Gibson. He's done some very interesting films. Recently, Hacksaw Ridge. He did The Passion of the Christ and Braveheart. For me, Hacksaw Ridge, I think, was an underrated film. Great war movie about a true hero who was willing to sacrifice everything for his fellow soldiers. And I think that really speaks a lot about what love is in terms of sacrifice. I think it's a great film to watch. Check it out if you haven't. Another filmmaker, John Landis. Did Animal House, Blues Brothers, Trading Places. He did the Twilight Zone film, which that was a little bit of a catastrophe. But John Landis, one of the things that he did best, I think, was Animal House. He just made this movie hilarious. It's if you haven't seen Animal House, please do. John Belushi at his best. It's like the first National Lampoon movie, and it's just a great film, and John Landis did a great job with it. Another honorable mention, Harold Ramis. Harold Ramis did one of my favorite films of all time in Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, and he had a great friendship with Bill Murray. He was also a pretty good actor, Harold Ramis was. Groundhog Day, if you haven't seen it, you really need to. It explores the idea of repetition, being stuck in life. Harold Ramis also did Caddyshack, which is a great early comedy from the 70s. It's worth checking out if you haven't seen it. And he did the first Vacation film, which is also pretty funny in its own right with Chevy Chase. But yeah, check out Groundhog Day if you haven't. It is a all-timer. Just explores just being stuck, which I think a lot of the times we face at different points in life. So, another guy who didn't quite make the list, Judd Apatow. He did The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, and The Big Sick. He's had a huge influence on recent comedies. He hasn't directed a ton of them, but the films that he has are pretty damn good. The one that sticks out for me is The 40-Year-Old Virgin. If you haven't seen that, check it out. It's Steve Carell, and he's fucking hilarious, and explores the ideas of, like, insecurities, and dealing with, like, you know, your flaws while also trying to pursue what you want. I don't know. It's worth a watch. It's very, very funny and a very honest, film. Another guy who didn't quite make the list is Mr. Jonathan Levine. He's done a couple really good movies that stick out for me. The one that sticks out the most, though, is 50-50 with Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He hits some great comedic notes in that film, as well as some very intense, dramatic moments. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is battling cancer, and Seth Rogen is his best friend, and he's trying to help him through it. And it's just very real. It's like the movie's title is about how this guy has a 50-50 chance of living as he's fighting cancer. And there's so many different relationships explored as well. He has a therapist. He has older friends who are facing mortality. He has a girlfriend who's very up and down and very emotional, and he's just dealing with all these things, and it's a great movie. If you haven't seen 50-50, you gotta watch it. Another film that he did, Warm Bodies, it's a zombie film. It's pretty damn good. Check it out if you haven't. And he did another film with Josh Peck called The Whackness. Kind of a coming of age movie. It's very interesting, so check it out if you haven't seen it as well. Without further ado, we're going to go back to the top three. So, the top three filmmakers of all time. This is, you know, a very, you know, important place to be in this list, I guess. You know, but with number three, I chose an incredible indie filmmaker, one who has incredible artistic vision. Like, films aren't just, they're not just telling a story. It's also like a painting at the same time with this guy. He's like painting a story. He can do stop motion. He can do incredible set design and great dialogue. He has very interesting characters. Guy's name is Wes Anderson. And some of the movies that stick out for him would be The Royal Tenenbaums, Moonrise Kingdom, Fantastic Mr. Fox, and The Darjeeling Limited. I particularly like The Darjeeling Limited because it really, it's just about three friends traveling through India, and they have a very interesting story, and it's about their relationships. I think that film's a lot of fun. The Royal Tenenbaums is really interesting. It's got Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson and Bill Murray and just an all-star cast. And it's about a family, who are just, you know, they're just figuring out one another. They have all these quirks and they're just dealing with a lot. It's a great film just about a family, with just very interesting quirks to them. And then Fantastic Mr. Fox, if you haven't seen that, you gotta see it. It's a great, it's one of the best animated films I've ever seen. It's like stop motion, it's incredible. There's some very artistic choices throughout. It's not really a kid's movie, but it's not a kid's movie. And it's just, I don't know, it's a lot of fun to watch. Like, you're enjoying the visuals just as much as you're enjoying the story, and it's true art in every sense, of what art is. It's poetry, it's film, it's animation, it's incredibly artistic. So yeah, if you haven't checked out the films of Wes Anderson, there's also Rushmore, that's a great one. And there's a number of other ones, The Grand Budapest Hotel. He has so many ensemble casts that are incredible. He works with a lot of the same people because they love working with him. Because he's got a lot of vision, so he doesn't put out duds. He puts out great films, and he swings for the fences. And he doesn't really give a shit what other people think. A lot of people, you know, are into the blockbusters, but he doesn't give a shit. He wants to make an honest, good film. At number two, this is controversial, Richard Linklater. I think he has some ups and downs, whatever. There's some movies that I've seen from him there. I'm like, oh, okay. But for the most part, he tells incredible stories. Specifically, I think of Boyhood, where, I mean, one of the most interesting ways to make a film, he shot it over 10 years. He shot for like a couple weeks every year and made this film that wasn't really a story, but just following this kid's life as he grows up. And specifically in like the time that I was growing up. So I find it very just what's the word I'm looking for? Just very reminiscent of the times that I had growing up, and very fun, and just very honest about what it's like to become an adult and to become a person making their own decisions and being around people who really kind of shape your life. It's a great movie. Check it out if you haven't. The trilogy of films that he made, the Before trilogy, is one of the most incredible love stories. It's a lot about just these conversations taken about, a decade apart each time. And there's just so real, and the drama to these films is incredible. If you've not seen Before Sunset, Before Sunrise, and Before Midnight, you have to see those movies. Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy just having incredible performances, and Richard Linklater just exploring the humanity of these characters in a way that I don't know that anybody else really has. It's a great film, or a great trilogy of films, really. And then another great film by Richard Linklater. Check out Dazed and Confused. Early Matthew McConaughey, early Ben Affleck, a lot of just young kids, and they're having a good time, and it's high school life in the 70s, and they're dazed and confused, literally, a lot of people are high, and it's not really even necessarily a story. It's just a night. It's just a night in the 70s in high school at this one place. So he also did School Rock, which, for somebody who's coming out of this like very indie place, independent mind, to be able to make a great Hollywood film like School of Rock with Jack Black, and bring his mind to it, it's worth a watch, man. It's a lot of fun. Most people have seen it. That's one of the funnest movies, on this list probably. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's just about a guy teaching his kids how to rock, So, great film there. So, without further ado, the number one pick. This guy just makes like fucking mind fuck movies, man. I mean, just mind fuck movies. Mr. Christopher Nolan. He directed all three of the Dark Knight trilogy films. The Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, and The Dark Knight Rises. He did The Prestige, Inception, Interstellar. He did Memento, all great films. I like to think about Inception, just because it explores the idea of dreaming and just like, consciousness and reality, and how do we face, I guess, how do we decipher reality from our dreams sometimes, and how does our conscious mind work versus our subconscious. And it's just a really interesting film, an ensemble cast that kills it. And yeah, it's, if you haven't seen it, you're crazy. Go see it. Inception's an all-time film. Interstellar's great. It explores the idea of space and time, and incredible characters, incredible acting from Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway, and just a number of other great actors in it. Matt Damon makes an appearance. If you haven't seen it, fuck you, go see it. I didn't really spoil anything, but The Prestige, that movie has a great twist at the end. It's kind of more of a period piece. You got Nikola Tesla in it, played by David Bowie, which I thought was incredibly interesting. You have Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale kind of facing off against each other. It's so fun. It's intense. You got Scarlett Johansson in there. I mean, it's just It's a great film. And the Dark Knight trilogy. I mean, you can't shit on that trilogy. You got, Heath Ledger, who you never thought was gonna give that performance, but he did. You got Bale playing Batman, and he does a great job. Michael Caine. You have Tom Hardy playing Bane, and just like how memorable that role was. I mean, it's crazy. Liam Neeson as Ra's al Ghul and Marion Cotillard as his daughter. Just the whole relationships between characters in those films, and just how it explores this world like no one's ever done it before. It's dark, gritty, but it's real, and it's human. I don't know. I think those are probably the best superhero films of all time. It's definitely the best trilogy of superhero films of all time. But yeah, let me know what you think. Thank you for listening, and I'll try to put out some more Best of Humanity, so that, if there's other humans out there or aliens, that they can get to appreciate the best of what we had to offer. So thanks for listening, guys, and but this was Best of Humanity, frankly put.